You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. From Roger Sportsnet joins us. Spec, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. How you doing?
I am pretty good. I'm not as good as Leon Draisaitl is when it comes to facing the Nashville Predators. And I'm sure Draisaitl and his team are hoping that their recent trend, their 13-1-1 in their last 15 games against the Preds, they have outscored them 66-38. And Draisaitl has 39 points himself. He's outscored the Predators just on his own in the last 15 games.
Yeah, I don't love the, I mean, those are facts and that's the history. I don't love the way the Oilers are playing here.
No, God, they're not. It's my point.
Giving up six a night. So, you know, if I'm Nashville and I'm looking at this thing, I'm saying, look, the odds are I got to beat these guys eventually. It's a perfect night to bring this thing to an end. And Nashville's playing well. They've been winning games. They've been on a long road trip here. And I don't think I'm going to guess, you know, I hope the Oilers don't feel like, it's Nashville. We'll chuck our sticks over the boards and beat these guys like we always do. Because the way they're going right now, it's going to take a concerted effort to win. They got to pick their game up big time.
Oh, God, yeah. No. Well, that's what I'm like. For Draisaitl, probably comes the perfect time. He hasn't played as well as he would like in the last four games for certain. And, you know, he's only scored in one of his last 13 games. Now, he did score a hat trick in that game. But it is a kind of an extended – now, he does have 20 points in 13 games, so it's not like he's playing terrible. But, you know, he's their leading goal scorer, right? So you normally want him to score goals. And trust me, he wants to score goals. He doesn't. He never kind of hides behind the fact that's his job. And I look at, you know, he gets Kapanen and Podkolzin. And I remember Zach Hyman's first game back. Spec, what do you have, like 9 or 10 hits in his first game back? Like he was flying. I think we might see a similar performance. It doesn't mean it's points, but just energy coming from Kapanen. And I think the team is desperate for some.
Yeah, they're desperate for energy. They're for sure desperate for energy. They, you know, a guy, if they got a guy that wants to run around a little bit, throw the body around, sure, that would be great. They don't, you know, one of the guys that's supposed to do that's Frederick, and he's in the press box tonight, so he won't be checking anybody unless it's you or me. So yeah, any kind of energy for this team in a positive way, like right now they're, you know, I'm not sure if they're lacking, I guess they are, they're lacking urgency. Battle level, mm-hmm. You know, their battle level is poor. And they're not taking control of hockey games. They're leaving the other team. They're leaving the game in the balance. And the last few games, the other team's taking control of it. You know, they kind of stuck in there and all of a sudden Philly's up 3-0. The Oilers didn't start playing until it was 3-0. So, you know, yeah, they need a boost. They're in a funk. They're in a low point. We always overreact when they get down and lose a few, and we probably overreact when they win a whole bunch. But right now, there's just very little to like about the game. I don't think that's being too hard on them, is it?
Oh, God, no. Like, and by the way, they haven't won a bunch or too much at any point this season, Spec. They are one of only two teams in the NHL who have yet to win three games in a row, and they might be the last one. If the Blues win tomorrow against Chicago, which is very plausible, the Oilers will be the final team in the NHL to win at least three games in a row, which is absolutely
That's not nothing. That's not nothing.
No, it's not. Like, they're lucky they're in the Turtle Division right now. They are. That's just, and hey, you know, that's good. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck. Good to be lucky, lucky to be good. And it means that they just have to have a good second half and they can win the division and get home ice advantage and avoid Colorado and Dallas and Minnesota until the third round.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been around this team enough. We know where their standards are. We know what the way they have to play to win rounds. And it's really, to me, it's always, I don't care where they finish in terms of making, they got to make the playoffs. You know, last year, they didn't have home ice advantage in the first three rounds. They won all three rounds. They had home ice advantage in round four and lost it. So I don't even care about home ice advantage. And I don't think the Oilers do much either. You just have to be playing a certain way. There's certain things that have to happen, and your game has to have certain attributes if you're going to beat anybody You know, if you're going to beat anybody in a playoff round, your game has to have certain attributes, and they've got lots of time. You know, they got 40 games here left to put this thing together. They got a trade deadline. They got hopefully a trade or two to make. And right now they're in a little funk, and that's fine. It's going to happen. But there are certain things. I'm less worried, Jay, about where they finish in their division and far more concerned about, are you going to be playing the way you need to be playing when the tournament starts? That, to me, is all that matters.
No. That is valid. They definitely, you know, where you finish ultimately doesn't. I still think, though, historically, if you look at, you know, I know that, you know, Florida didn't have home ice advantage, but, you know, they're defending champs. It's very rare do you meet the defending champ in the Stanley Cup final, right? But home ice advantage historically is an advantage. That's why it's called home ice advantage. And less travel, lots of things that can all add up here or there. I think Edmonton would like to finish first. And honestly, there's not that many good teams in their division. They should finish first. Like, if you don't finish first in the regular season, I'm kind of like, what the hell's going on? Like, how good can you be playing if you can't beat out Vegas the way they're going? Definitely not Anaheim. Like, Anaheim's going the wrong direction fast, right? San Jose's a great story, but they're not that good. The LA Kings, I don't think, are that good. Seattle, you know, somehow they're 7-0-1. They can't score at all, but they win games. It's an amazing thing to see. So good for them. And they've gotten a little bit of a heater here right now. And that's all you need. Yeah. You need a heater in the Pacific, and you can go from sixth to second in a blink of 2 weeks.
Well, this was the home ice. This was the month of home games that's supposed to set the orders up for the rest of the season. And it's not too late to get started down that trail. So they lost a couple games. Big deal. They got a whole bunch left. Let's hope we're not having this conversation a week from now, 2 weeks from now. Right. This is give them credit for their first half. They had a wicked hard first half, and they came out of that first half in first place at New Year's. And now the table's set to solidify a lead on this division and set yourself up for the post-Olympic break and be ready to, you know, go in the playoffs with everything going your way. So let's go. Here it is. It's sitting right in front of you. It's there for the taking, man. You know, you can't ask for anything more than what they got looking them in the face right now.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. You look at... Now, they made the roster shuffle. I predicted it yesterday. Kapanen comes on. They move Jari to LTIR just because they were basically $100,000 short to put Kapanen on. So Jari would be eligible to come off, for anybody wondering, next Monday against Chicago. I don't think he'll be ready then. But then, so this is not hurting them. It gives them some time. And even if Walman plays Monday, they could just activate Walman because they have the cap space with Jari on LTIR. But once Jari's ready, Spec, which my understanding is might be probably, you know, by the 17th or 18th, and Mangiapane's got to be moved by then. There's just, the money doesn't work anywhere else. It's got to be moved.
Well, they're in it. I mean, they keep getting injuries, and there's no law that says they won't keep getting injuries. So maybe they never, you know, maybe the chicken never comes home to roost here on the cap situation. If there's always going to be a guy out, you can always throw someone on LTI and do all the things they're doing. At some point, if they get everybody healthy, Stambone's got to figure something out here. And, you know, you don't just snap your fingers and get rid of $3.6 million on your cap, right? It's not that easy. You can snap your fingers and get rid of 1.1 by sending them to the minors. But, you know, the other $2.5 million, I don't know how he's going to deal with that. That's what he gets paid to do, I guess. It's awfully tough to sign a guy on July 1st and be trading him on Feb 1st. That's a tall order. But yeah. I guess that's why Stan gets the big bucks, huh?
It happens, buddy. Wouldn't be the first one. Like, I'm a big believer. Like, people are going to make mistakes in evaluations all the time, right? A trade doesn't work out.
Yep.
The biggest problem is when you compound your issue by being stubborn and say, oh, you know what? We're just going to stick with him. It's not working, right? It didn't work with Arvidsson. It didn't work with Skinner. It's not working with him. They're all kind of the same players in my books. It's not going to work, right? So, you know, and then financially, you have to make a move. Now that you've acquired Jari, you have to make a move. Like, they're, you know, now, you know, Trent Frederick, do I think that he has a lot of trade value? I do not. He's got 8-year deal, so no. But I still look at the orders, and they feel like in Frederick's case that at least he has something that if he finds his game again is something they don't have, which is size and some physicality, which he played with in Boston. He's not playing with any right now, but I don't think that part of his game is evaporated, that he can't hit anybody. He suddenly isn't six. He's not like he's 5'9" suddenly. He's still 6'3", right?
Sure.
So those things could come about again. Whereas Mangiapane, it's a short-term deal. It's not work, and it doesn't really offer anything that they really need, to be blunt.
Well, sure. So how are you going to trade him? How are you going to eliminate that 3.6?
There's lots of guys. Spec, we can do a laundry list of players we thought would never be traded. They got traded. Happens all the time. So guess what? GM, do your job. Find a partner.
Are you going to give up a first-round pick with him?
Ah, you don't have to give up a first-round.
What are you going to give up with him? You're going to give up a second-round pick with him? The premise of this trade is, Jay, you can't take cap space back, right?
Yeah. You could take $1 million back realistically. Somebody that you put in the minors, you could do that. But yeah, you're right. You're not taking big money, but guys get traded all the time, Spec, that people are looking like for future considerations, right? Or something like
future
that.
Future considerations is nothing, and you get rid of the cap space.
Yeah, and that's happened a lot.
If Stan had that trade yesterday, he'd make it.
Yeah, but
Spec, I don't think that – I don't know. Listen, we're in the predictions business. My prediction is you can't move Mangiapane for futures and not put in a big, fat sweetener or take back money. Right, like, sure, Anaheim wants to trade you Ryan Strome. He makes $5 million. Yeah. He's got 15 points.
Yeah, so that's happening.
That's the kind of deal he's getting right now. I'll be surprised if they just move that 3.6 this year and next, and don't have to take stuff back, and don't have to throw a bunch of good stuff in. I don't see it coming. Maybe you do. I don't see it coming.
I'd be shocked if Mangiapane. I think there's lots of teams, Spec, that are that would be willing to take him. I don't think you're going to have to give a huge sweetener. I do think you'll probably have to retain something in lower salary in return, and then they move from there. But I'll say January 22nd. Before then, he's dealt.
Okay, and the parameters of this deal is what? The Oilers will retain salary?
No, God, no. I don't think they're retaining salary.
Okay, so what are we taking back? They're taking back only $1 million?
Yeah, give or take, you probably save $2 million, something like that close, on the cap. And in the deal, plus, they'll have to give up something, but I don't think it has to be a major sweetener. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think they have to give up a second rounder here.
Okay, well, I'll be interested to see if he can pull that off. That will be some pretty suave GMing.
Yeah, like there are teams that will look and say, hey, we think Andrew Mangiapane can help us. Just because it didn't work somewhere doesn't mean it can't work the next place, right? Like, look at Arvidsson in Boston. He's played well. Like, it's just some places it doesn't fit, and there's always someone who, one man's treasure is another man's garbage. One man's treasure is another man's garbage. Happens all the time. So I won't be surprised. This is not a trade where, oh my God, you're going to have to, you got to give a first to take him. Like, it's not that much money. It's only one more.
I don't think it's a first round
pick. I don't even think it's a second, to be honest.
Remember, Mangiapane had an awful year last year, too. This isn't the first year he's had a poor year.
Well, actually, his points per 60 was actually pretty good. He didn't play a lot of minutes, but he still scored 12, 13 goals, basically playing on your fourth line. Right? He just didn't have a big productive season. 28
points last year.
Yeah, yeah.
How many games did he play?
On the fourth line. That's my point.
Yeah, why was he on the fourth line?
Because Washington had all their guys in their top line were producing. Go look at their team.
Because he couldn't make the top line. Yeah. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, well. Right?
Signs here as a free agent to be a top six player. He can't make the top six.
Well, no. He was traded there. He's been in Washington.
28 points.
Yeah.
He had an awful year. And they cut him loose. They didn't want him back. So, no, sorry. You can't sugarcoat the year he had in Washington last year. He stunk. And he stinks this year. You think there's a bunch of teams lining up for this guy? Oh, boy, I'd love to see him.
Well, you watch, Spec. You watch. There's not a lot of guys out there that teams are always willing to give guys, who have scored. If you're a 15 to 20 goal scorer, Spec, there's lots of teams looking for 50. Heck, the Oilers are looking for 15 or 20 goal scorers. He's just not one here, right? Like, he doesn't fit into how they play, right? People are saying Skinner was more skilled. No, when I talk about the fit, they hold on to the puck too long. Other teams that can work with. It doesn't work if you want to play them in your top six in Edmonton, wingers who hold on to the puck too long. It does not work. It's been proven.
You'd think after 2 years you'd be able to figure that out, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you'd think so. But sometimes, hey, I don't know what happens with guys. Maybe he moves the puck quicker when he's somewhere else. I have no idea. But it hasn't worked here. And, we'll see what happens. But I think there's, Spec, what about, I look at a team – Now, they don't have a lot, but they got a ton of cap space. And like, I wonder if they're desperate enough. Like, the Winnipeg Jets are having an awful season. But they can't just rebuild. All their guys are signed. Like, they can't just rebuild that. So I look at the Jets and, you know, I wonder about them. Like, would they say, hey, man, we'll take a flyer on a guy, you know, because we can, you know, we're losing Gustav Nyquist next year. So whatever, we'll take the salary this year to try to get something to salvage this season. I think it's probably too late, to be honest. I think they're too far gone to catch that many teams. I could be wrong. Maybe they're the St. Louis Blues of 2026 and get on a heater. I agree. I doubt it, but that's probably what they're telling themselves, right? It's probably what they're telling themselves.
I would think if I'm Kevin Cheveldayoff, I'll take a run at Mangiapane for sure, but I'm probably going to get Nyquist is done after this season. I'm probably going to say, you got to take him back. Yeah. And that doesn't help the Oilers.
No, it doesn't help the Oilers at all because it saves them like $350,000 in cap space.
I know. Yeah. And that's the kind of offers that Stan's getting right now. We've had this conversation. We're done with it. I don't know if he's going to be able to just get rid of that cap space as easily as you think he will. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe you're right.
We'll see. John Cooper, coaches 1,000th game, got the big ceremony. Leon Draisaitl's going to have his ceremony with his family in town this Saturday. But you look at John Cooper, and he's never won a Coach of the Year award. And I look at Tampa Bay and all the changes they've made. They've had some injuries this year. They're sitting there. They win their division. Do you think is he a finalist? Like Jared Bednar, I think, is going to be a finalist. You think Cooper would finally be a finalist?
Oh, for sure he should be, because I think Jared Bednar's team, when we went into the season, we looked at him and said, this is a really top team and they should be right at the top of the Western Conference and they're a cup contender. I'm not sure we said that about Tampa when the season started, that they would be able to win their division. So it's one thing when Cooper was winning cups, that team was so good. The guy that coaches that team almost never wins a Jack Adams. Glenn Sather never won a Jack Adams in Edmonton because people looked at his roster and said.
No, didn't he? I thought he won one. But I could be wrong.
I don't think he did.
No.
I don't think he did. I mean, call me wrong, but I don't think he did.
Yeah, he won it in 86.
He won it in 86.
Yeah.
When they didn't win the cup.
Yeah, but it's all based on the regular season, right?
I know. So he did. So I stand corrected. He won one. But he won five cups here, or at least I shouldn't say that. He won four cups, or I
guess as a head coach. Yeah. Yeah.
As head coach. Yes. But anyway, my point would be that Cooper has a better chance of winning the trophy to me this year than he did when they were winning cups, because they were such a dominant team coming out of the gates. We all knew how good they were. Their roster was fantastic. He's doing a hell of a job with his team, you know, and they've had a bunch of injuries this year. So, sure. Coop's a hell of a good coach. He's a great guy. He's a great story. Came out of nowhere, you know, started at the very bottom of the coaching ladder, man, like in Nowheresville, and worked himself up to be the head coach of Team Canada, of all things. So good for him. But Draisaitl's going to be, Saturday against LA, they'll celebrate his 1,000th point, correct?
Yes, on Saturday, because they wanted to do it with his family around, and obviously due to being in Germany, they just couldn't, you know, drop everything. You know, as Peter told me when I interviewed him for Leon's 1,000th point, he's like, hey man, we got a job. He's still working in hockey. Sandra works. So, you know, they were able to plan it, and now they'll come in. They're coming in. I think they arrive on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, the dad's trip. The Oilers do a dad's trip in Chicago and Nashville.
Okay. So he's coming in for that too.
Coming in for that. So they'll kill two birds, right? That's a great idea. And then barring anything unforeseen, Nugent Hopkins on, I believe it is January 18th against St. Louis, celebrates his 1,000th game as well.
Yes. So a few celebration games coming up. Speck, we'll enjoy the game tonight. We'll see what the Oilers got against Nashville. They need a much better effort and a much better start than they had against the Flyers on
Saturday. Yeah, and much better goaltending. We're all watching Connor Ingram tonight. You know, one bad game in a row, that's fine. It's going to happen. Let's see if he has a bounce back in him tonight. That's going to be a big part of whatever happens here.
You betcha. Speck, we'll see you at the rink.